Hi, this is Meredith Foster. This is the Epic Podcast. Enjoy.
After everything he had put her through, after everything we had experienced in our childhood because of him, I just felt like, you know what, buddy, you don't deserve grace, not you.
Everybody has a story, and everyone is a chapter, a piece of a much bigger picture. Welcome to Epic.
A great big story
that's been happening since the beginning.
It's filled with redemption,
suffering,
hope,
and power.
And power.
It has many characters.
And so you and I are
a part of it.
We are not.
We're not the hero.
This is Epic.
Hi, this is Meredith Foster. Is anyone beyond the reach of God's grace? We probably know what's supposed to be the correct answer. Of course not. But sometimes reality hits hard. Tina Zimmerman believed her father was too far gone. He'd been abusive and hard-hearted. He had abandoned their family. She lived in fear of him. By the time she was an adult, she was angry at all he had done, especially how he had treated her mother. And yet her mother always believed that one day her dad's heart would change. Here is Chapter 5 of Epic, Tina Zimmerman's story. So when you were born, were your parents married?
My parents were married, but not together ever, actually. Their marriage started off under very difficult circumstances, and it continued along that pattern. My dad was in and out of our lives even before I was born. I have four older sisters, and he was never a part of my life by the time I came along. He was pretty much out of the home, but then he would come back for a while. He spent time in prison. He was on the road as a truck driver, as a salesman, and so he had opportunity for a lot of other relationships out in the world. And during that phase is when my mother just began to desperately look for something to cling to. And from what I understand, she went to church with my grandmother. She became a believer, and that was just the start. But as a very young, immature Christian, she was grasping at faith and promises and things that we as mature Christians kind of grow away from. You know, we start to become skeptical. But my mother was desperate for a faithful God and someone who kept promises. And so her faith was almost a desperate type of faith.
What was that like for you, like growing up in her household? How did you see that?
You know, I just saw her pray. I saw her every morning get up, peel an orange, make a cup of Folgers instant coffee that stunk because she drank it black. And she would sit at the kitchen table, and I can still see her little orange peels on a napkin. And she would have her Bible open, and she would read, and she would pray. And she would pray with us and tell us, you know, what to pray for. And it was always pray for Daddy. Pray that Daddy will get saved. Make sure you pray that Daddy gets saved. And I don't even think I understood that fully as a child. But specifically, I remember one prayer as a kid that's growing. You go through clothes pretty quickly. Winter was coming, you know, and we live where winters are very cold. And I didn't have a winter coat, and she didn't have the money for the coat. And so I remember her saying, well, we'll just pray. God says he'll provide. And she prayed fervently that night that God would provide. And the next day she went to work, and she cleaned house for a very rich family. And she got there, and the woman kind of treated my mother like a peasant. And she basically told her project for the day was to go clean out a closet. She said, get everything out of there, put it in boxes, and throw it in the dumpster. And so my mom began to clean out the closet, and what was in there but winter coats. And there were three actually in my size. So not did I get one coat, but I got to choose from three coats my size.
No way.
And of course I chose the bright purple fuzzy one. But that is one, just one of many times that I can remember her praying and believing. And the next day it was there, you know.
It was clear she had amazing faith. And it sounds like that extended to how she felt about your dad as you were praying for him. Were there ever seasons where he came back and you thought things are going to be normal, or was there ever?
No, he would come back because I know he loved my mother deeply, but the verse, what fellowship does light have with darkness? Couldn't have been more human in their relationship. I think he lived kind of with us until I was 3. And then he was gone mostly until I was about 8. And then when I was 8, I can see him driving up the driveway. We lived on a farm and he brought divorce papers. And my mom just collapsing on the floor because it was over at that point. And as a little child, I remember running. We had a little pond and I ran to the pond and I wanted it all to be over. And I wanted to just dive in the pond and it be done.
Mm-hmm. How often did you see him, let's just say, over the next 20, 30 years?
He would come and get me once a year for my birthday. And at first, as an 8-year-old, I was like, yay, I get to see my daddy. And I remember pretending that this was our life, you know, like, this is normal. Daddy's at the house. He would always take me to eat, and he would take me to buy a toy. You know, pretty young, I really enjoyed that. And then as I became a teenager and I'm sitting across a table in a restaurant with a man who's telling me things that I know nothing about, and I'm trying to tell him about my life that he knows nothing about, it made no sense to me. It's like I'm working harder at this relationship than I do with anybody else in my life. I don't know him. And I would say I think the last time we went out like that was I was 18. And it was just so awkward. I said, never again. That was just too weird. And from probably that time until I got married when I was 22 and was just really struggling with a lot of just emotional issues of abandonment and rejection and things that go along with that, that, you know, a lot of people who are experiencing that, I just really had some raging temper issues and fear issues that were completely irrational. And my husband finally got me a book called The Blessing that's about a child's need for their parents' approval and affirmation. And it rocked my world. Wow. Because it was me exactly. And I just wanted my daddy to love me and my mom not to be upset. And it just wouldn't happen. And here she's praying.
Had she continued to be upset all of these years when it came to your dad? Or?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's the weirdest love story ever because they loved each other, but it was like polar opposites. It doesn't work. That turmoil of what he put my mom through and what he put us through and just almost not having a winter coat because he didn't provide, you know, those kind of things led to a lot of animosity. And as I got older, that turned into bitterness and rage. And I began to just hate him. I knew that I was terrified of him. We lived kind of in the same town. And so there would be brushes where I would be coming out of a store and we'd see him in the, you know, in the parking lot. And just sheer panic of, what do I do?
Would you talk to him? Did you guys interact?
No. After a while, I just got to the point where I would get physically sick at the thought of an encounter. My grandmother died, his mother, probably 8 years ago, maybe. And just going to that funeral and knowing we were going to be in the same building was very traumatic. And so because my mom continued to have that faith.
All through her life?
Every day.
She never remarried, never had another?
Oh, never wanted. And my mother was beautiful. She looked like Sophia Loren. That's who people always, gorgeous woman. And I'm telling you, she had lots of opportunities. She wanted nothing to do with anybody because she felt like my dad was her one. They were one. You can't add to that. They were one. And so despite everything, he was hers and she loved him because she knew that one day he was going to be redeemed. And she knew.
Always had that confidence.
Never wavered. Drove
Amazing.
Me crazy.
Okay. So eventually there came a time for you where you let that go or you didn't believe that would happen anymore.
I started feeling like he has been given opportunity after opportunity because my sisters would go, they would have their pastors go visit him. My mother would say, pray for me. I'm going to go talk to your dad again, or I'm going to send your dad a letter. And the thing was, bless her heart, she was so respectful when he would marry others.
He got married?
Oh, yeah. I think 3 more times.
Okay.
Again, just he wanted that relationship, but he just could not commit to the laws of marriage or anything else. And so my mom would be really respectful and she wouldn't call him or go to his house. But when she felt like the Holy Spirit was prompting her to pray with him or invite him to church, she would send him a letter or a card. You know, and then there was lots of phases between marriages where he was seeing other women, and she was respectful of that through all that. And yet she would still reach out to him to come to Jesus. And the funny thing is, he would always want to come back to her, but he didn't want to come to Jesus. And that just, it sickened me down deep after everything he had put her through, after everything we had experienced in our childhood because of him. I just felt like, you know what, buddy, you don't deserve grace. I do, because, you know, clearly I deserve grace, but not you, because Jesus didn't die for, you know, that. I was just really hard-hearted in that way. And I remember the last time my mother, it was probably Easter of 2015, my mom was telling me, and my older sister was in town, and she was saying, pray for me. I really feel like this is going to be the time. I'm going to go over and ask your dad to come to church with me for Easter for the pageant. And
how old was she at this point?
83.
So this has now been going on for 60 some years.
60 years of begging this man to come to Jesus. So she said she was going to invite him to go to Easter. And I just dropped my head, because you don't want to crush that faith in somebody, but it literally repulsed me. And my older sister said, Mother, he has heard the gospel. He has heard and he knows it. This is just too far, too long. You know, it's not worth your time. He has chosen his life. And everything she was saying, I was thinking, but I was a little bit smarter than to say it. But Mom invited him anyway.
How did your mother respond to what your sister was saying? Did she have a response, or she just...
No, she just knew.
Okay.
She knew we were wrong. And she went and invited him for Easter. And she called me up to tell me that he just looked the other way and said, "Ah, you know, that's not my thing, hon." And looking back on it, the pride that I had in myself, just thinking that she was a fool for that faith. She was a fool. He didn't deserve it. And I was so wrong on both accounts.
It's funny how, as we get older, we think we are so much wiser. Tina was sure her dad was too far gone, but she had no idea what was just ahead and how it would change his life and hers. That's coming up on Epic. Thanks for joining us today and listening to Epic. If you can't stick around for the rest of the show, you can always listen to the podcast on our website. And maybe you have a story to share. We would love to hear about it at myfaithradio.com. Today, we're sharing Tina Zimmerman's story. In her mind, her father was too far gone, well beyond the reach of God's grace. But it turned out Tina was wrong. Here is part two of her story.
Looking back on it, the pride that I had in myself, just thinking that she was a fool for that faith. She was a fool. He didn't deserve it. And I was so wrong on both accounts.
Let's talk about that. What happened next?
So my mother served at a food pantry. Her job was to pray with people if they had prayer requests, if they had any needs when they came in. And so that Monday, I had sent her a text and said, when you get done at the shelter, do you want to go out for lunch? She didn't answer me. I called. She didn't answer me. Well, a lot of times she turns her phone off when she's praying with people. So I was even in her neighborhood and thought I should just stop by. And I looked at my watch. I thought, oh, she's not home yet. So I went to the store, texted her again. I thought, forget it. Went home and got a call from my sister later that the food pantry had called and said Mother hadn't showed up. And we knew this. If she gave a word, she was going to be somewhere. She would be there. And so we found her in the bathtub. She had had a massive stroke and she was taken to the hospital. She was completely unresponsive, unconscious. And, you know, you're sitting there in the waiting room and your entire world is spinning because they came out and they told us she's not coming back. And they said it'll probably take a few days, but she's not coming back. And so my husband, of course, was there and my family was starting to get there, and in walks my father. And I had to leave the hospital. I said, I can't. My both worlds just crashed right now. I cannot do this. And so we sat in the waiting room, you know, across from each other, and it was just a really horrible, horrible night. And in walked...
He stayed.
He wasn't going to leave her, which at that time I thought, even in my head, even that day, I thought, if you hadn't left her, she wouldn't have laid alone in a bathtub for 6 hours dying. It was his fault for not being there. I mean, that was my mindset. But he wouldn't leave. So one of the pastors that one of my sisters had sent to go talk to my father at one time, he showed up at the hospital to kind of support my sister. And my dad went over and talked to him and sat at a table. And I remember hearing him say, "Hey, I want to talk to you." But I know it got late in the night and there was the discussion that everyone needed to leave and go home. And I said, "Well, I'll stay, you know, with mom." And so I said, "Well, let me run home and get some clothes and get a shower and I'll be back." And in that time, I guess my dad talked with that pastor and said, "What do I do to be saved?" And they all went in my mom's hospital room and everybody but me joined in a circle. And my dad, they said, prayed a prayer like somebody who had prayed eloquently in front of people for years. It just was like he knew exactly how to call on the name of the Lord. And he knew exactly, just there was just a comfort and ease when he did it. And I guess he had waited for me to come back, but he didn't want my mom to pass without him doing that.
Oh my goodness.
So he prayed without a doubt, his own words, a prayer of salvation. And when I came back, of course, everybody said, "Dad got saved." And I cannot explain to you the instant washing out of my emotions of hatred, of fear, of sickening, of revenge. It was as gone as if I just walked in this room and met you fresh and new. Completely, completely gone. I loved my dad. Like, instantly there was just this, I love this man. And I remember, you know, our family with five sisters and everybody else there, spouses and grandchildren. I wanted to be the one sitting next to Daddy. It was just instant. And his spirit changed. That's all I can say. It was palpable, the change in his spirit. And I think it's because he was so just in bondage and chains by the enemy for so many years that you could physically see, like, he walked out of a prison cell. I mean, it was so evident from that very second, from the first time I saw him.
It's stunning.
I was stunned at what I could feel in myself changing. It was like...
Yeah.
It was like God saved both of us in that day. And I don't mean, you know, in the theological sense, but it was like a redemption. Mm-hmm. I mean, complete redemption. And that has continued to walk out over the last 2 years.
What does your relationship with your dad look like now?
It's
what
insane.
Does he look like?
I love him. So the first thing, my sisters gave him my mother's Bible, which has probably more of her writing in it than the actual printed words, the notes. And so I think just out of nostalgia, he started pouring through that. Every day he gets up, he sits down, just like my mom, at his kitchen table with his Bible, and he reads. And so that all took place the very end of April, was when we lost my mother. She was on hospice for 8 days. And of course, they knew that her brain was gone. We would come in the room and say things. We would open the window. There was just no response. Occasionally she would open her eyes, but she would always look up into the corner. And we thought she was looking for us. And the nurses said, no. When somebody's had a stroke like that, their eyes will pull towards the area of the brain where the stroke is. She's not looking at you. I remember the very next day after my dad had accepted Christ, I just bent over her bed and I said, "Mom, do you know that Daddy got saved?" She squeezed my hand so tight. And I thought, I'm going to try that again. So I said a couple other things and no reaction. I said, Mom, did you hear last night? Daddy prayed right over your bed and got saved. She squeezed it so tight again. And it was like she was letting me know, this isn't a muscle reaction. Do you feel me squeezing? It was so tight. And then my dad walked in the room and I said, Mom, Daddy's here. He's here. She opened her eyes, and for the first time, her eyes went directly to him, and he got down in her face, and I don't know what he said to her. I've got a picture of it somewhere, but her eyes were fixed on his eyes, and when he finished, her eyes rolled back, and that was the last time we saw any response out of her whatsoever.
So can you describe your dad now?
Describe my dad before, just his temperament? One of the very stressful things as a child was do not make your father angry. You know, perfect clean house, perfectly cooked food, quiet children, respectful children. You just lived in fear of making him angry. And so a lot of the fear was just because we were just scared of him. And so I began to just visit him occasionally. And the conversations that we had were so odd because they were two-way conversations, very comfortable. I didn't feel intimidated. I didn't feel dominated. We talked like friends.
For the first time in my life.
And so finally Christmas Eve came and I invited him and his current wife at that time to our church for Christmas. He was sweating bullets. I don't think he exhaled the entire service. During the preaching, our pastor is very open and vulnerable about his past and that just because he's a pastor, he's not perfect and that he knows grace firsthand. And my dad, I see him, you know, tough guy wiping his eyes here and there, and he would wait until, you know, everybody was laughing and then he'd kind of wipe his nose or whatever. But I could see a lot of emotion. And then, I can't remember what song it was that was about grace, and he was struggling to keep the wheels from coming off. And then in the next couple months, his wife wound up leaving him and he was alone again. And so Easter came and we invited Dad again to church. And this time he was much more comfortable and just seemed a little bit more familiar. And then he just started coming to church and didn't tell me. And my oldest sister said, you know, your dad goes to church now, right? And I said, what? And she goes, yeah, he goes to the 9 o'clock service every Sunday. I'm like, we go to the 11 o'clock service. So I called him like, Dad, are you going to church? And he goes, yeah. And I said, well, can we go to when you go? And he said, oh, I don't care. So now we all go to the same service. You know, I love sitting next to him and hearing his voice when we sing worship songs. One Sunday we're sitting there and they have a little section of announcements that's on a screen. They kind of play what's coming up, and they said, we're going to be having baptisms on so-and-so. And Dad leans over and goes, I'm thinking about doing that. Every time it's new. It's new every morning to see his faith and the grace and the mercy and the boldness that he has. And when he got baptized, I got to actually be in the water with him, and my jaw just drops because my reality has completely changed with this same man.
It's stunning, literally stunning, to think about the transformation from where you were as a child and afraid to be in his presence to be standing in.
I know.
It's transformation.
Yeah. And it's, like I said, it's like God redeemed me as well, because I don't know that I've ever seen that happen. You read about the Saul, Paul, you know, experience in the Bible and things like that. But to see it firsthand, it's overwhelming. And I try so hard to keep my phone in my pocket, but I want to take pictures of him taking communion. And I want to record him singing hymns, because it's not sunk in yet, you know, and I want to see those pictures and go, yeah, that wasn't a dream. That happened, you know.
It really happened. Tima's father's redemption and restoration is a wonderful display of God's grace. It seems extraordinary to us, but after the interview, we talked about how this kind of grace is ordinary to God. It's his heart for every one of us, for those of us who think we deserve it and those of us who know we don't, and those that think we are too far gone. This story is a great reminder that there is no such thing. I asked Tina what she would say to someone who is tempted to give up hope that a loved one could ever change. She said she's learned from her mom's example to never give up. And even when we do, God never gives up. He is much more gracious than we could ever imagine. We're really grateful to Tina for sharing her story with us. If you have a moment, hop over to our website. You can see a beautiful photo of Tina's mom and a precious photo of Tina and her dad. And while you are there, tell us about your story. We believe everyone has a chapter in God's great big story. If you enjoyed today's show, please share it with a friend. And you can find the podcast and more about Epic at myfaithradio.com. Epic is a production of Faith Radio. Big thanks to Jason Racco and Ted Ross for help with production. Our theme song was written by Stephen Johnson. And I'm your host, Meredith Foster. See you next week. Thanks so much for listening. Every episode of Epic is made possible by people like you. You can make a gift today at myfaithradio.com. And if you love the show, let others know about it by sharing this audio link. You can make sure you never miss an episode when you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or your favorite podcast player.